Hello again, this is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program 146 in a series of 260 chapters dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen here over the past 50 years, the WHKP years since 1946. 45 years ago today, the first and only Water Follies ever to be staged in Hendersonville took place, sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce. Back in 1951... somebody in the Chamber of Commerce dreamed up the staging of a Water Follies at Laurel Park Lake. That year, Ben Prince was president of the Chamber, and it simply didn't fit his honor's demeanor to have a keen interest in promoting any sort of entertainment, let alone a Water Follies here in the mountains. B.M. Bevo Middleton was chairman of the event, so I have a suspicion that Bevo is the one who dreamed up that idea. It would be held on the evening of August 3rd and 4th with a matinee on the 5th at Laurel Park Lake. I had mentioned on an earlier broadcast that the two favorite places to swim in the summer were the Weeping Willow Swimming Pool and Laurel Park Lake. It was located directly in front of the Laurel Park Inn, which was owned and operated by John and Lucille Prescott. While it was promoted for guests of the inn, the public also was encouraged to use the facilities. Now, this would be the setting for the Water Follies. The committee would borrow bleachers from the athletic fields of the schools, and the State Highway Patrol and Sheriff's Department would not only assist with traffic, but would keep cars moving around Lakeshore Drive so that freeloaders simply couldn't park and watch the show for nothing. The committee consisted of Bevo, Jimmy Fain, Don Gilmore, Ed Smith, Hugh Udy, Earl Martin, Bob Hunter, and P.M. Kamak. Earl Martin was conned into working with the committee because he was band director at Hendersonville High School, and he was the only guy who knew anything about music in the group. They also twisted the arm of high school coach Ted Carter to assist in the staging of the event. It was to be presented Friday and Saturday evenings at 8:15, a Sunday matinee at 3:30. Bevo Middleton proudly announced that the chamber had arranged for a special arc light to be transported from Knoxville, quote, so that every movement of the graceful ballet and precision diving might be seen. It was also announced that a professional diving board had been purchased by the Chamber of Commerce and would be used for the first time in the Water Follies. Full cooperation was assured by the Junior Chamber of Commerce. John Shipman, who was president, said that advance tickets would be sold at the JC information booth at the corner of 4th and Main. As part of the advance promotion, it was heralded that a professional diver would dive off the high diving board smoking a pipe, and that this guy was so good when he came out of the water and climbed back upon the diving platform, the pipe would still be lit and he'd still be puffing on it. Now, my memories of most of the follies was a bit hazy 45 years ago, but I do remember the high diver with the pipe smoking routine. And I remember he did work at Pete Folsom Motor Company. In late May, I called Pete and asked, Pete, do you remember the Chamber of Commerce sponsored a Water Follies way back in the 50s, and there was a high diver who did a pipe-smoking routine off the high board? I remember he worked for you. Do you remember his name? Pete didn't hesitate one second. Oh, that was Lewis Grant. Are you sure? Lewis Grant? Oh, yeah, I remember it well. He was the son of a former sheriff. Well, I knew that to be Eck, or Sheriff Eccles Grant. And I knew that Eck and V.E. Grant were brothers, so I called U.S. Grant, one of V.E.'s boys, and asked him if he remembered Lewis being a professional diver. No, but he could have been. Why don't you call Rose Alice Dishner and ask her? Now, you see, Lewis Grant married Rose Alice's sister Marietta, who everybody called Biddy. Rose Alice was the widow of that affable and one and only Jim Dishner. Rose Alice and Biddy were both Rosiers before they married. Rose Alice also was not aware of any professional diving background of Lewis Grant, but she also said it could have been. I remember the routine because I gave the big build-up of what was to happen. Into the water, smoking a pipe, out of the water, the pipe still being puffed on. Well, when he hit the water with a pipe in his mouth, things didn't go exactly right because he was going to require some major dental repair work once he came up. Knocked his teeth out. The crowd was described as enthusiastic for the Follies, but the number of people who turned out was only described as fair. No one ever really knew the attendance because, as I remember, the guy who was in charge of the money simply disappeared on Monday morning with the money, and it is my very good fortune not to be able to remember his name. The professional diving board bought by the chamber stayed at Laurel Park Lake and was used until a few years later when the Prescotts got into a dispute with the other property owners around the lake and, before leaving for Florida, simply for spite, drained Laurel Park Lake. The following spring, it was learned that muskrats build their burrows near the surface of the water, and when the lake had been drawn down that winter, the muskrats simply went down with the water and bored holes in the base of the dam. The lake couldn't be refilled until the dam was totally rebuilt. Never has been. And what at one time was the grand and glorious Laurel Park Lake is now just a little bitty pool near the right side of the old dam. And once the Prescott property was sold and then sold again, it became part of the Laurel Park Villas, a condominium village where each property owner also owns a tiny fraction of what was once the lake, and the chance now of ever rebuilding Laurel Park Lake is between near zero and nil. More memories of this seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave, and with the job he's loved all of his life. Sursum corda as we approach the next 50 years.